Mr. Tasky. The Antic Files. Episode 5.
Welcome to another episode of Inversitasky, The Antic Files. This episode covers Volume 1, Number 5, the December 1982/January 1983 issue of Antic Magazine. This is episode number 5. The price, I couldn't find a price anywhere on it. Not even a subscription ad. I guess it's still $2.50. There are 112 pages, cover to cover, and there are 71 advertisers. The cover of this issue is very bright. It's a view into an elf workshop. There is a 12-pane window near center behind all the action, with a view into snowy hills and a forest. The wall around the window is orange with a stucco-type texturing, thus a majority of the cover is orange. Hanging on the left of the window is a large candy cane, and on the right is a doll dressed in a green outfit. The focus in front of the window is a table with five elves working. To me, they really look like young garden gnomes. There is a robotic reindeer on the table whose antlers are an inverted Atari Fuji symbol, and that reindeer is hooked up to a keyboard that an elf is typing on. There is also a joystick attached that another elf is controlling. The reindeer is hooked up to a small sleigh as well, with another elf holding the reins. One elf has another Atari Silver Fuji symbol, and it looks like he's trying to figure out where to place it. At the top left is the Antic logo in white with a green shadow. On the upper right, diagonally in green, it says Buyer's Guide. There is a signature of Tim Boxall, 1982, in the side of the table. And he appears in the magazine publishing info as well for the cover illustration. There's not an editorial in this issue. I do have a few ads I want to talk about, the first of which is from Versa Computing, which has a full-page monochrome ad for several of their products. On the top half is VersaWriter, which is a digital tablet that has a digital arm on it. You can use this for tracing a picture and turning it into digital artwork. It's $300, which is $944 today. The bottom half has VersaWare software titles, including Graphics Composer, Mind Boggler, and Globe Master. The next ad is from Online Computer Centers of OKC, and they have a full-page monochrome ad for A Financial Wizard. I bring this up because I featured this on Inversitasky in Season 1, Episode 11, and all research I did at the time indicated it was from Computari. The ad says it's available exclusively here. The ad also claims it's the ultimate personal finance system for Atari. I can find no wording that says Computari at all, but the advertiser index does and points to this page for Computari. There's a link to a Financial Wizard episode in the show notes. Next is an ad from Synapse, which is a full-page, full-color ad that states Synapse Delivers, with an undertitle of Games for All Seasons. There are 10 game box covers shown. Four of my favorites are here: Picnic Paranoia, Fort Apocalypse, Claim Jumper, and Seamus. I don't think you can go wrong with any of the other game titles either: Nautilus, Chicken, Slime, Protector 2, Dodge Racer, and Reptilian. The center of the ad has a picture of a house with snow on the roof and a Synapse Santa petting his robotic reindeer. There's a huge bag with Synapse written on it, stuffed with game box-shaped presents, sitting on a sleigh, and there's even a robotic mouse skiing down the roof. It's a neat ad that I don't remember seeing. And the last ad I'll talk about is from Beaumont Digital Electronics, which is a half-page ad for the Primary Utility Pack, otherwise referred to as PUP. It's a left slot cartridge for the Atari 800. It includes a RAM test, a disk map, which checks disk for bad sectors, a sector patch or editor, and a cartridge backup. For the cartridge backup function, it says, quote, "This utility allows you to make an exact copy for archival purposes only. and that archival copies are destroyed in the event that continued possession of the computer program should cease to be rightful. End quote.
I bet that is exactly how it was used.
Oh, I'm sure of it. The product requires 48K and priced at $69.96, which is $220.89 today. The first feature is called Great Caesar's Host by Chris Crawford. This feature article is about game design. You might recognize the author since he wrote Eastern Front 1941 from APX and later Atari, and also Legionnaire from Avalon Hill. In here, he talks about the differences of these games, one being turn-based, 1941, and the other being real-time, Legionnaire, along with the advantages and disadvantages of each approach, which is the focus of the article. The article is largely centered around Legionnaire, which pits the Romans against barbarians, thus the Caesar tie-in, and he states the first version was written on a Commodore PET in about 8 weeks' time, around March of 1979. This version was ported to the Atari, simplified, and sold by APX as Centurion. The final version of Legionnaire took about 6 months to program. The next feature is Atari Tree by Jerry White. This feature article is a presentation of a basic program that is an animation. It displays a Christmas tree with blinking lights, plays jingle bells, and displays the lyrics. It is Jerry's Christmas card to the readers, paid for by Andic. I typed this in and couldn't get it to run. I double-checked the program against the listing, then resorted to the typo program. That showed me there were three sections of code that didn't match the checksums. I checked all three, and they matched. So I think the typo codes printed in the magazine are wrong. I ran the program several times, then broke out of it where it appeared to hang. Each time, it was around line 10,005. I then traced through this code and found a bug in the listing at line 10,008. There's an errant GoSub 2000 at the end of the line. This puts the program into an infinite loop of defining the ornaments or lights into the player missile data areas. I removed the offending statement, and it ran perfectly. Screenshots on the website, and here's the tune it plays. The next article is called The Model Station by Robert DeWitt. This feature article describes the components that make up the Antic Model Word Processing Station. If that doesn't make sense, think of this as Antic's ideal word processing station. In summary, it's an Atari 800 with 48K of memory, a Bit3 80-column card, LJK's letter-perfect word processor, an AMDEC 300A amber screen monitor, a Percom double-density disk drive, or two, and Computer International's Daisy Writer, which has a built-in 16K buffer. Because the Bit3 board requires a slot in the 800, they used an Intec 32K RAM expansion alongside Atari's 16K RAM. The article goes into a mini-review of each product used, and he notes that this system is used to write articles for Antic, including this very article. The next article is Holiday Crossword by Beth Kaplan. This feature article is a crossword puzzle generated for the holiday issue using the program Crossword Magic. She says it's a little bit confusing to work with, but you eventually learn it. I've seen this advertised a few times now, and it's running for $49. I've considered looking for this program to create some crosswords myself, but just haven't done it. Next up is Starting Line by James Caporel. This department article just answers 10 super basic questions for a new user that might receive a silver-boxed Atari gift for the holidays. Next is Oh Holy Night by W.E. Parker. This feature article presents a program that plays Oh Holy Night and displays a welcome message, then draws a pastoral scene, which changes from day to night as the song plays. There are screenshots on the website, and here's the song. Next is Joystick Survey by Dave Plotkin. This feature article is an evaluation of 8 different joysticks, inclusive of Atari's own. It details why the Atari stick is not the best and describes the features that make a stick better. The Wico Command Control has the overall favorite, and the Bayless Big Stick has the most arcade feel. Of note, Bayless has a quarter-page ad on page 62, and it sold for $69.95, which is $220.86 today, and has a considerable footprint at 7 inches by 8 inches and 3 inches thick. I think the tabletop sticks allow you to play longer as there is no hand cramping or soreness from holding it, and at least that's been my experience. I use my Ed Ladin controller, which is roughly double in length for this one, but otherwise about the same dimensions. And I have no problem setting it on my lap and playing for long periods of time. There's a link to Ed Ladin in the show notes. Next up is Dragon Smoke by Bob Albrecht and George Firedrake. This department article is titled Wordsworth. The authors describe ASCII and how the computer uses it. Then they contrive a table of each letter and assign a value to each. They tell you how to calculate any word's worth by adding the values of all the letters of the word together based on the table, kind of like Scrabble. Then they give you some challenges, which I found absurd, unless you're extremely desperate for something to do. Using the American Heritage Dictionary, which has approximately 55,000 words, keep that in mind, do the following. 1. How many three-letter words have a word's worth of less than 100? 2. What three-letter word has the smallest value? 3. What three-letter word has the largest value? 4. What word has the largest word's worth value? 5. What word combined with its value is the most interesting? Say what? 6. What words have a value of 12? 7. What words have a value of 123? 8. Send them a list of words with values less than 100 that are prime numbers. 9. Send them a list of words that have odd values and a list that has even values. And 10. Send them Wordsworth ideas. That might be the most sane one. So they want you to write a program to compute a word's value using the table provided. No problem. But who's going to type in 55,000 words and note the values? Hard pass here.
I could do it.
Also, you might recognize Bob's name. He is the author of Atari Basic book that accompanies the cartridge. Next up is Assembly Language by Jerry White. This department article presents an assembly routine to search for a string because Atari Basic is just too slow. He shows you the assembly source, and there is a basic program that installs the routine and acts as a demo. Next up is Pilot Your Atari by Ken Harms. This department article presents a program that draws two Christmas trees with stars and ornaments, then plays Jingle Bells with one voice. You can't use typo with Pilot, and I double-checked code against the listing, and it is correct. However, it prints dollar left in the message area rather than the happy holiday message that it's supposed to. Like in the last episode, I think it has to do with how they instruct the use of special characters to be entered. So something I probably entered wrong where there are unprintables on the magazine listing. Screenshots on the website, and here's the tune. Next is Graphics, G-R-A-F-I-X, by Tim McGinnis. This feature article discusses some of the author's favorite graphics software, why he likes them, what you can do with them, and a little bit of instruction, all which come together to help create professional graphics screens. He also presents a small basic program to load an Antic Mode E graphics screen from file. The tool chain he uses consists of the following products. VersaWriter, which is a digital tablet used for tracing. I talked about this in the ads. The Next Step, which is a character set editor I've not heard of. Graphics Generator, which is a character set editor that allows editing of 5 sets at once and allows for the creation of character matrices. Graphics Composer, which has an excellent player missile editor. Graphic Master, which is a Graphics 8 editor that can do some special tricks. And MicroPainter, which is an Antic E screen editor. Graphic Master was featured on InVersaTasky on Season 4, Episode 8, and there's a link in the show notes. Next is Fourth Factory by Bob Gonsalves. This department article discusses the power of using defined words in Fourth. He talks about the construction, the principles, and gives some examples. Next up is Education by Linda Schreiber. This department article is titled Candle Candle Burning Bright. Here she presents a basic program that simulates a science experiment. It draws a candle, which you light, and then lower a jar over it. It continues to burn until the oxygen molecules that are floating around are used up. There are some screenshots on the website. Next is In the Public Domain by Stan Aukers. This department article presents a game in BASIC called Bats.
Wrong season.
Yeah, agreed. The game is sort of like Flappy Bird with a twist. You pilot a bat through a cave, which gets smaller and smaller in each round. You score by eating insects that are flying across, but you need to avoid the poison ones. The only control you have is how high your bat flies. Screenshots are on the website. And here's some sound from the game. The game over screen plays a tune as well, which repeats until you exit. Here's that sound. This is a fun, simple game, at least for a few minutes. The last feature for this episode, or this issue, is Tape Topics by Carl Evans. This department article tells you exactly how data is transferred to and from your Atari to the tape and back. He also tells you why you can't use just any cassette deck. And it's because the 410 translates the FSK tape signal into a serial binary data stream on load. The Pokey chip handles this on the save side, sending the 410 the required FSK signal. Got a couple miscellany items to talk about. Number one, in the new product section is a mini review of SideWriter from Screen Sonics. This is a $238 external keyboard for your 400 and 800. That's $751 today. For not too much more, you could have bought an Atari 800. There is a color photo of it, and it matches the Atari's color scheme. It looks like it's attached with about a 6-foot cable. There's only one key that's different from the 800, and that is the inverse key. On the side writer, this key is labeled SUE, S-U-E. Get it? They might get sued for using the Atari Fuji logo. There's also a half-page ad for it on page 75. Why would you want to use this on the 800? Maybe you want to sit back and type in your chair, not so close to the screen. And the second item is also from the new products section. Pac-Man is now available for $44.95 on a 16K cartridge. That is $141.93 today. It's a little bit expensive for a game. This was the second cartridge I got for my 800. The first was Basic. And I believe I got it for Christmas of 1982, the same as this issue. It's no secret I'm a big fan of Pac-Man, and it's one of my all-time favorite games, and I still enjoy playing it today. Anyone ever play this game?
Was that supposed to be funny? He received feedback from Amos on southernamos.com forums, not the BBS, in response to the Antic Files episode number 4, who writes, "Another great episode of the Antic Files, has a nice personal touch again on the content, the sound clips added another layer and of course the BBS-based feedback, quotes from listeners users very cool, thank you Wade for continuing the experiment. Thanks Amos."
Just a subtle reminder about feedback. If you have any stories about Antic or any of the products mentioned, or you just want to chat, I'd like to hear about it. My contact information is on the website. Some thanks are in order. I gotta thank Zane Little for the track The Cool Factor from the album Another Bag of Chips, which is used in the opening sequence. And I gotta thank you for continuing to listen. Thanks, everyone.